Grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ. And I'd like to offer you, all of you, a heartfelt and genuine Mayflower welcome on this, the second Sunday of 2023. It's also Epiphany Sunday and also the day when we observe the baptism of our Lord. We also welcome those who watch online or listen. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. And I'm joined by our worship team, production staff, and chancel choir, who will be bringing special music today. And our liturgists for the day are Gail Sawyer and Deanne McCormick. Today we also welcome Dorothy Fredrickson. Looking for Dorothy. She was here earlier. She's here. Okay. She represents the organization called Soaring Unlimited, the organization which sponsors baby boxes for Haiti. That's a project that the Mayflower Church has supported for the last several years, and we intend to again this year. Dorothy will help us again, tell us the update of that ministry in one of the poorest countries of the world where the needs are so great. She'll be sharing a little later in the service, and also she has a display when we go back for the coffee hour. Make sure you take a look at that. It's a fascinating ministry. It's kind of caught hold with us here at Mayflower. This Saturday, 11 o'clock, here in the sanctuary, there'll be a memorial service for Linda Riley, and there'll be a lunch following. Everyone will be invited to that. Once again, that's 11 o'clock, and so then that's a good time after the service to come and enjoy a lunch as we share together with the family after the Linda's memorial service. Linda was a faithful attender and member here for a number of years. Next Sunday, the following the worship service, my friend Jerry Quick, who you've known quite a bit about, has only been here one time in 5.5 years, but he will be here to help us plan the mission trip that Mayflower will be involved in to Juarez, Mexico, which will likely be held in late April, but guess what? We get to choose the dates. And if you just want to know what that's all about, doesn't mean if you come to the time after our service in the Friendship Center that you're signing up, but if you're interested, I have been to Juarez, Mexico on that mission about 9 different times, so I have some experience of my own. Jerry is the founder, and now there's another president and board as Jerry has retired, but he still makes it down to Juarez about 6 or 7 times a year in that very important ministry. And by the way, if for no other reason, just remember Jerry's one of my best friends. All right. And I'm still waiting to hear from Andrew and Liz Stegall-Lewis, who work with the organization that has also been something of our interest called Beyond Borders, where a Christian organization goes in different parts of the world where there were large refugee populations and looks for the children who can where they can give them education and health care. So there's a scheduled conflict, but they're still trying to work it out, so just stay tuned on your email and look for information on that. We could use, if you are able and willing, some more donations for the Lansing Area Food Bank. It was a little out of kilter this year because we canceled our Christmas Eve service. And as you know, our tradition is to take an offering that goes entirely to charity. We've already taken in some offering for that, but if that's left your mind and indeed you want to donate to that, just make sure you make it clear as a notation on your check, or just make it clear on an envelope with cash. And don't forget, January 22nd, Reverend Tom and Wendy Van Tassel will be here in my absence. Wendy will augment the music that day with a solo, and Tom Van Tassel, who was once an associate minister at the Plymouth Congregational Church, will bring the message. I kind of wish I could be here, but I'll be enjoying my time away. Now, both of the Protestant sacraments will be observed today, and our worship theme is the sacraments. And of course, the sacraments are between us and God, but we do it together as a congregation. We have open communion, and I might remind people that even though we're not as familiar with the sacrament of baptism, because quite frankly, in our culture, there are many, many people that have been baptized, but baptism is also open in our tradition. And so I will make those instructions a little greater toward the end of the service, but that's why the baptismal font is here. And I was reminded to make sure we put warm water in there But for all of you who have been baptized as an infant and confirmed, or for whatever reason baptized an infant and you simply want to come up and remember your baptism, you would simply dip your hand in the water, put it on your forehead, and in your own way, between you and God, you can remember your baptism. Remember, it's optional, but that is an opportunity that all will have. And then, on Baptism Sunday, which is today, we will give you, anybody that has never been baptized or was baptized as an infant and not confirmed, and I will be there to help if anybody comes and presents themselves for baptism, and I'd be happy to do that on your behalf. Doesn't take a class, doesn't take anything before, just a two or three questions about your faith in Christ and your willingness to be have that sign and symbol of God's grace. So, looking forward to having you all in the Friendship Center following the service, and you can take a little closer look at the baby boxes for Haiti. They'll be all on display back there. It is time now to worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning, Gail.
It is always a joy to welcome this wonderfully diverse group of beautiful people into a place we call the beloved community. Today, the lectionary takes us to the baptism of Jesus, which is a fascinating story, and it does raise interesting questions. Regardless, the example of Jesus, along with his great commission to teach, preach, and baptize, is why we are here today. You know that we do not adhere to strict interpretations of either of the sacraments. So as Pastor Mark has indicated, this service is designed to help us better understand the two sacraments of our Protestant tradition. We thank you for this opportunity to experience baptism for the first time, or to remember our baptism and the commitment we made or that was made on our behalf. No pressure here today, friends. Let's enjoy the service and listen for the voice from heaven, which declares, "You are my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased. Thanks be to God." Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we ask, as we always do, for your blessing upon this worship service. Today, we contemplate the meaning of the sacramental element of imparted divine grace. In so doing, O Lord, we ask you to help us open a pathway in us to be able to receive divine grace in our sacraments, but also in our hearts. For it is in our hearts where we provide residence for the grace and love of God. So may we be inspired by the music, scripture, prayer, and the spoken word, as well as these most meaningful sacraments of our faith. This we pray in the name of the one who has shown us the way of humility in baptism, and has always asked us to remember him as he has remembered us.
It's probably a good idea to keep your eye on the bulletin because, as you see, we do things a little different order today. So just to give you the heads up on that. As we come to the time in worship where we give symbolically, I would remind all of us and myself that generosity originates in the heart, not the wallet. And I've told the story probably more than once here, but I'll say it again. When my son was 19 years old, less than half of what he is today, he has always been interested in music, and he's a wonderful musician. But at the time, when he was 19, he thought certainly he would make millions of dollars at it. I guess that's the way it is for a lot of musicians. And he reminded me that when he made those millions, that he would provide me with a nice new car and a new home. That hasn't happened. But he has learned a lot, and in that statement, I learned a lot. And now he's in his, he's more than twice that age and studying for a religion degree, PhD, at North Carolina, or University of North Carolina. So I guess some things do change over time. But we all can be open to the change that God works in our hearts. And I want to thank you for being the most generous congregation that I have ever known or been a part of. So let us now continue worship with the giving of our time, our talents, our resources, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. To many in our congregation, Dorothy Fredrickson is well known because she always comes to give us a little heads up and to say thank you for what we've done in the past. So, Dorothy Fredrickson, it's your turn.
I'm happy to be here today to share with you in person my appreciation for your support of our Baby Box program. The program's been flourishing over in Haiti in spite of all the trouble that they've been having over there. If you've been watching the news, you can see they've had a lot of trouble over there recently. But in spite of that, things have been going with the Baby Box program. Most of the trouble is down in Port-au-Prince, so that's about 100 miles away from where our clinic and our community center is. But they have had trouble getting gas. The gangs have taken over the fuel sources, so they have to get gas. They buy it by the jug, a gallon jug beside the road, and it's $25 a gallon. We complain about the gas here, but that's the problem that they have, is having to pay $25 a gallon. It's brought in from the Dominican Republic, I guess, and so that's the biggest trouble that they had. But in spite of everything, we got all the boxes that we ordered in the beginning given out, and we just ordered 760 more. So we're planning on keeping going. In fact, Tom Hanna from Eaton Rapids, he's leaving today to go down to Florida to get a load of those out of storage to take to Miami to put on a ship and send them to Haiti. He's also taking a load of donated baby clothes that different churches and groups have donated, and also the things that the bedding that we make. We make the bedding right down here at Grace Church, right here by your neighbor, there in your neighbor. So we have a lot of bedding that we were sending to today. Of course, the staff in Haiti assemble the boxes. We like them to have a part in it so they feel like they're part of the ministry. They assemble the boxes and put the contact paper on them to make them waterproof when the boxes get there. We were a bit delayed in ordering the boxes because the Consumer Safety Product Commission, that's a federal organization, decided to regulate baby beds last year. And the baby boxes were at the bottom of the list, but they decided not to regulate the baby boxes. So we were happy about that. They said those weren't beds. And so we were happy that they didn't regulate baby boxes so that we could continue sending them. The baby boxes, we need to keep the baby boxes going because the babies now just let them just sleep on a pile of rags on the floor, on the dirt floor of the hut. And someone has to sit beside them all day with a stick to make sure that no rats or snakes or these great big tarantulas get on them. We have those at Halloween, but they have them for real over there. And at night, they often sleep with their parents, and they could be open to being crushed. And, of course, their parents probably sleep on the floor of the hut, too. But the most important part of the program is the child care classes. Every mother that gets a baby box, she has to take a child care class and learn how to appropriately take care of her baby. Many of the women now just get their advice from the local witch doctor, and we're concerned about what the witch doctor is telling them. Sometimes they tell them to let their fingernails grow real long or something terrible is going to happen to them. They tell them all kinds of funny things. So every mother that gets the box has to take the child care class before they get the boxes. We heard about this program from the country of Finland. Finland's had this program for the past 90 years. In fact, they started this program when we had the Depression about 90 years ago. And that country now has the lowest infant and maternal mortality rate in the world. Of course, Haiti has the highest infant and mortality rate in the world. That's why we're concerned about getting the program started there. We're hoping that we can get the program all over the country of Haiti. The United Nations now, I've heard, is getting a little bit interested in it. We hope they'll start helping us because we're not sure we can do it all over the country, but maybe we can spark the interest of some other groups to help us. But I know that if we all work together, we can have an impact on the infant and child mortality rate in Haiti. And we really appreciate your church's help. You've been helpful for the past 5 years, and I know that you've helped us save a lot of lives over in Haiti.
I want to say thank you to Dorothy. You are an inspiration to us and to me, and she's been with this ministry and is making a difference in the world. And I appreciate it. Today, our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way for Christ, was quite confused that Jesus asked him to be baptized. We are confused, too, as we ponder the reason Jesus presented himself for baptism. While there is no definitive answer to this, we can be assured that Jesus identifies with us in every way, including the humility we all need to present ourselves for baptism and receive the forgiveness of sins. So hear now these words. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, your Spirit hovers over this sanctuary, and I pray that it would hover over the holy desk as I share Amen. Among believing Christians, there are many theological and scriptural perspectives and lots of differences on the sacraments, and in some traditions they are called ordinances. So it would behoove us to respect other traditions and avoid contentious disagreements. One of the negative things, in my opinion, that happened shortly after the Reformation was that Martin Luther had a big disagreement and held firm on his interpretation of the Lord's Supper, and it caused a great divide in the Protestant tradition that exists to this very day. These differences, in my opinion, are not worth fighting over. Yet, it is vitally important to understand the differences as we embrace our own tradition and understand why we do what we do. The following, and this is part of the teaching aspect, I hope it will be instructional for all of us. The following is a brief summary of some of the theological and doctrinal contrasts among many different Christian traditions. Now, obviously, there is a significant difference between Catholic and Protestant theology, doctrine, and tradition concerning the sacraments. Catholic theology has 7 sacraments, including baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, which is often called the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Table, or Communion, penance, extreme unction, which is better known as the Last Rites, holy orders, which is known as ordination, and matrimony, which of course is marriage. For most Protestants, there are just 2, the Lord's Supper and baptism. There is at least 1 denomination which observes 3, which are considered to be ordinances, and I think there may be a person or two here that have a little background in the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, and their tradition, if I'm not incorrect, Bob and Darlene, would be they add a 3rd, which is foot washing, which is something Jesus did to his disciples. And it seems to me, back 4 or 5 years ago, we had a Maundy Thursday service where we reenacted part of a foot washing service. We're not going to do that this morning, if that's any relief to you. There's also a Protestant tradition called ultra-dispensationalism that observes only 1 sacrament, that being of the Lord's Supper. And finally, there are some Protestants who do not observe any, most notably being the Salvation Army, which most people understand as a charitable institution, and it is. But it is also a recognized and organized denomination with sanctuaries and worship services. They are not against the sacraments, but the founders, and I found this fascinating, among others, saw the sacraments as an endless source of conflict. And it was. And they felt that precious wasted resources could be better spent in helping the needy. And I would say the Salvation Army has done a pretty good job with that. By the way, the Salvation Army of Lansing worships at a facility, I believe, on Jolly Road, which is also a community center. Does anybody remember seeing that down there where the Salvation Army is? Salvation Army has churches. They have regular worship services, and their worship style and their theology is very similar to the tradition in which I was raised. Now, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, the most significant disagreement over the sacrament is, once again, without any contentious thought, between Catholic and Protestant theology. Roman Catholics contend and believe that the elements of bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Christ. This doctrine is called, and many of you are aware of this, transubstantiation. Protestants offer varying views, including Martin Luther's doctrine of consubstantiation, which is similar to Catholic theology, but essentially says that Christ permeates and penetrates the elements. Catholic theology suggests that the Lord's Supper is a cause of grace, And Protestants have varying understandings, but identify the Lord's Supper more typically as a symbol or a sign of grace rather than an actual means of grace. Now, regarding baptism, there are differences regarding the mode of baptism, the candidates for baptism, and what I would call the efficacy or the importance of it. As you might know or anticipate, the modes of baptism are threefold: immersion, pouring, and sprinkling, each being supported by various passages of Scripture, but the most rare of those would be pouring. The differences between the candidates for baptism underscores theological differences between infant baptism and adult, or what we would call believer's baptism. The differences concerning the efficacy of baptism are whether or not baptism, similar to our understanding of the Lord's Supper, is a symbol of grace or an actual means of grace. Now, historically, we Congregationalists have been a hybrid between the Reformed and Anabaptist traditions. These days, though, Congregationalists have evolved into what we would call the mainline tradition, with similarities to the Methodists, Anglicans, and Presbyterians, among others. Congregationalists typically accept all modes of baptism, and we believe in both the covenantal understanding of infant baptism, which is later confirmed at what we call the age of accountability, and adult baptism, often simply referred to as believer's baptism. So, now to the text. All four Gospels record the baptism of Jesus. However, Matthew is the only one of the four who records a conversation that took place between John the Baptist and Jesus. And as Deanne indicated, it's an interesting conversation. John was baptizing many people, which we are told was a baptism for the repentance of sin. That is the likely reason why John was reluctant to baptize Jesus, probably not thinking of, as many of us do, that Jesus needed to be baptized. John the Baptist thought it was more appropriate for Jesus to baptize him. Would seem likely we could follow the same logic. But Jesus countered, saying that it was necessary for all righteousness to be fulfilled. And he was most likely referring to a prophecy in the book of Daniel. Now, we are not told what was happening in the soul of Jesus. While there are other scriptures that do suggest Jesus was without sin, Matthew does not present that as an argument either way. So it is important to understand that there are questions raised that the scriptures don't always easily answer for us. That is why it is just as important to acknowledge what we don't know about baptism. And it is also why I believe it is important to realize and accept, without judgment, that there are many differences regarding the sacraments. However, it is also equally important to understand that in the very last instructions given to his disciples in Matthew's gospel, Jesus told them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As a follower of Christ and a minister of the gospel, I take those words very seriously. But I would also like to note that two of the four gospels do not mention baptism as a command. So I also take just as seriously something Jesus said to Peter near the end of John's gospel on the lake shore of Galilee. At a spontaneous breakfast gathering following his resurrection, but before he departed, Jesus gave to Peter the gentle command to tend and feed the sheep and the lambs. As a pastor, that is the command I take as seriously as any command Jesus gave. So while it is exceedingly important to teach and share with you concerning the administration of the sacraments, both of them we shall observe today, I stand in this pulpit with a primary obligation to feed and tend the sheep. I consider it a great privilege. And it is a solemn responsibility that the words which flow from this pulpit should resonate and harmonize with the Spirit of God, which always hovers over and affirms what happens at the font and at the table, just like it did for Jesus. Remember, when Jesus presented himself for baptism, he had not yet preached one sermon. He hadn't healed anyone and hadn't performed any miracles. So whether we show up at the font with a lifetime of achievements or are carried in someone's arms, we are called beloved and claimed as God's children. For all of us, we listen for those words of affirmation from the very annals of heaven itself. This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. Now, every month, usually on the first Sunday, but we are doing it today because we had Christmas Eve last week, we share communion. We recite our ritual and partake of the elements as Jesus commanded during the Last Supper and with his disciples. By contrast, given the regularity and familiarity of communion, we are typically less familiar with the sacrament of baptism, and it's understandably can make us feel more uncomfortable. In 5.5 years, as I've mentioned earlier this morning to the choir, we have had just 3 services when baptism was administered or remembered. And that's typically, again, what I've shared before, and that is that we live in a society where the vast majority of people are baptized Christians. Now, as a pastor, I have baptized many infants. I have been involved with the teaching of confirmation classes and administered many adult baptisms, most by sprinkling and a few by immersion. I grew up in a church that had a tank right in the back here. And believe me, they wanted to keep that water warm, especially for the preacher. I preached a sermon once from a raft on a lake in southwest Michigan, followed by a baptism of 7 people who made their way out near the raft for baptism by immersion. In 1984, as a young pastor, I had the privilege of baptizing several people in the Jordan River. Both of my children were baptized as infants, but the tradition that I grew up in did not have confirmation class, so I trust that their confirmation class happened in my home. A very special moment for me in the earlier days of ministry was to have baptized my baby sister, Jennifer, in the Manchester YMCA in Richmond, Virginia, where I was, where the church was located and I was pastoring. It wasn't too long ago when I was talking to my sister and I said to her, Jenny, where were you baptized? And I was having a little memory issue there, and she looked at me and tilted her head, and she said, "You don't remember, Mark?" And she reminded me that we had a service where we went to the pool at the YMCA and had a baptism. Lastly, I want to begin the next phase of this service by remembering my own baptism. I hope many of you will do the same, whether you come forward or remain in your pew. That's totally up to you, and it's optional. I was baptized as an infant, and my mother was the one who shared with me that day in the church. I guess I could say the year. I believe it was early 1954, just after I had been born in 1953. And I received much instruction, training, and faith formation by my parents, but even beyond that, many loving congregants who loved, cared for, and taught me by precept and example. I have never felt the need for adult baptism, but you never know. So I remember my baptism along with the covenants made by my parents, my church, and many friends and relatives. So now, in this part of the service, I invite anyone who would like and would encourage you to do so if you have any hesitation but really feel like you want to, or if you want to remain in your pew, that's fine too, to remember your baptism. And you would do that by simply placing your hands in the water, which was warmed, so it's not really cold. Place it on your forehead, and then you can return to your pew. So, also, if you want to be baptized and never been baptized before, I invite you forward, and I will be here to help if that is your desire. So at the beginning, we'll have those that want to remember their baptism. If there's anyone else that wants to be baptized for the first time, or to be baptized and as an adult not having gone through confirmation, that's up to you. I'll be here to help. So, thanks be to God. I can bring the water to her, Ruth. I need those long fingernails. Deanne, could you give me a hand here? See if you can just reach that out, and I'll take it back to Arlene. Oh, it's coming in. There, look at that. Success. Here, Arlene, I'll shorten your trip. Here's the water right here for you. Just dip your hand right there. There you go.
In my forehead?
On your forehead, that's correct. Bless you, Arlene.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ruth. Now, is there anyone here that would like to present themselves for the baptism for the first time, or who was never confirmed and would like to have believer's baptism as an adult? All right, we've completed the sacrament of baptism, and after the choir sings, we will proceed to communion. Ah, about that, a pastoral prayer. Thank you. It takes a village, folks. And what a village it is. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, I begin with a prayer at the beginning of this year for our country. We have been watching television with varying degrees of concern and anguish. So I pray for our polarized and broken House of Representatives who have taken divided politics and turned their divisions upon others with like mind, with rancor or bitterness, and sadly, sometimes, in the name of Christ. Lord, we desperately pray for anyone who will change the spirit of hate and bitterness toward those with whom they disagree into any kind of tolerance, understanding, and cooperation for the good of our entire country. We thank you for the glimmer of hope when the president and minority leader of the other party got together in a show of bipartisanship. Help us to not develop a sense of cynicism, which I admit, O Lord, affects me deeply when I think of our country. So in renewing faith, give help and guidance to all 435 members of the House of Representatives and all 100 senators, all of whom rests the well-being of our country, and in many ways, each one of us. We pray for our president, vice president, cabinet members, and the judges of our Supreme Court, and we ask for you to help them seek wisdom from above, and then turn our despair into hope, and help us to keep praying against all odds. Now, speaking of praying against all odds, O Lord, we were overjoyed this week when millions of people prayed for the injured Damar Hamlin, and then who miraculously survived after a terrible injury and who will likely now fully recover. We are grateful for the quick response and for those who administered life-saving help in such an expeditious manner, and for the skilled medical personnel at the University of Cincinnati who helped continue the miracle. Help us as a country to remember what is really important when so much time, energy, and money is invested into our entertainment, which can dull our senses to the sanctity of the lives of those for whom we cheer. Bless the family and friends of Damar Hamlin. Thank you for the testimony of his goodness and his desire to help others, and for all those who have donated to the cause of providing toys for children in the depressed neighborhood where Damar grew up. May this spirit of love, generosity, and prayer spread across our land. And now, Lord, as always, for the most personal of our concerns that we share this morning, we pray for those within our circle of love and care who need it the most. We pray for Barb Fuller and members of her family at the loss of her beloved uncle, Phil Chamberlain. Be with the family of Linda Riley as we share in a memorial service this Saturday. And be with others who have recently suffered loss. And for those who are suffering physically and cannot be with us this morning, be with others on our prayer list and with those who are upon our minds, and we mention now. Thank you, O Lord, for the privilege of gathering and praying together that which you have taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You have the communion ritual as we do it here at Mayflower in the congregational tradition. So we begin by offering our prayer together of confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen. Now we have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the beloved tradition, the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear. So, in the great Thanksgiving, it is right, and it is a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We'll ask our servers to come forward. Remember, we welcome all of you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. So I'll ask our servers to distribute the elements. It would be our desire to have you hold them until we all eat together. Thank you. On the night that he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let us drink together." All right, and now we offer together the prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen and amen. Thank you, servers. Please stand those that are able. Amen. Receive now the benediction. Eternal God, your presence is here, and through water you have brought us bountiful love. In the beginning, your Spirit moved across the face of the deep waters and brought order out of chaos. Through the Red Sea, you led your people to the land of promise. Through the life and death of your Son Jesus and through his mighty resurrection, we have been given assurance that the healing waters will flow to all people, to all nations, and to each believing soul in the waters of baptism. And we have partaken of the body and blood of Christ. So now we pray that you would make us all one in Christ, cleansed from sin, determined to resist evil, serving humanity and working for justice, and raise us all to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go in peace. Join us in the Friendship Center. Amen. Well, folks, you've indulged us for extra time this morning for that. As a pastor, I say thank you very much. We did it all. Now, I'd like to say this. There are always someone, at least one person, but preferably more, that you can greet someone you don't know well, someone that may be here for the first time, or someone who's maybe struggling their health and have made it in today. That's the way we offer our prayers and benediction to one another as the beloved community. So let us enjoy each other as we fellowship together in the Lord. Amen.